Well, welcome to this Memorial Day service here at Piedmont Park Church. We would say as Seventh-day Adventists that every Sabbath is Memorial Day, right? When we remember the greatest ever divine human soldier who sacrificed his life so that we could live forever. It's not a bad exchange, is it, that the gospel offers us? And what were the weapons that Jesus fought with? Prayer, the Word of God, the Bible, kind words, loving kindness, deeds of mercy, words of truth. And so we find ourselves in the same battle, in the same war. And we're going to look today at the second chapter in the book of Ruth. And we're going to look at, in particular, 10 character traits that God always blesses. You want to have a productive life? You want to have a good life? A life that is blessed by God? We can find out in this chapter today that there are at least 10, I'm sure, but I've picked out 10 character traits that God always blesses. And the promise of this chapter is whosoever seeks shelter or refuge under the wings of the God of Israel shall be rewarded. Ruth is an ordinary story with extraordinary results. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel I'm living very much an ordinary life. There's the day-to-day things to take care of. And sometimes it almost gets mundane. But with God in our lives, with Jesus in our hearts, an ordinary life can be transformed into an extraordinary life. And so I hope the same thing happens for you. Let's pray, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, as you remember, especially this weekend, those brave men and women here in America and around the world who have given their lives for a good cause, especially a military conflict. We thank you for the sacrifice that our freedom comes out of. And we pray this morning that as we look into your word, that we may indeed be blessed by being here, that you might use these words to change lives, make new beginnings. We thank you for the story of hope that Ruth offers us, we pray. These things in Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes you have to just start by stating the obvious, and I'll do that today. Ruth was not an Israelite. Ruth was not an Israelite. It's amazing sometimes you see in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus endorses two people in particular for having great faith. Do you want to be a child that has great faith? You want to be a young person that has great faith? You want to be a man that has great faith? You want to be a woman that has great faith? Well, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus commended two people in particular for having great faith. And that was a Canaanite woman and a Roman centurion. Our story that has started in chapter 1 with great loss and tragedy. In fact, it's my suggestion to you that at the end of Ruth chapter 1, as Naomi returns to her homeland, as she returns to Bethlehem with her daughter-in-law Ruth, who's made a tremendous statement of commitment in chapter 1, that the narrator of this story wants us as the audience to ask the question, can anything good come out of this situation? Naomi has lost her husband. She's lost her two sons in the land of Moab. And so she returns with her daughter-in-law, who is also a widow. And there is just a drop of hope that the author gives us at the end of chapter 1, because God has provided food again for his people, and they are arriving at the time of the harvest. And so in this story, we see quite clearly that there are two things that we need as human beings that only God can provide. God can only provide bread, God can only provide food, and God can also only provide babies. The provision of bread and babies, this is the story of Ruth, and how God's timing is perfect. Because at the end of the story, we have the grandfather of King David. His name is Obed, and he is born at the end of the story. And so this is a story that goes from great loss and great tragedy to great hope. And so we're going to look in particular at chapter 2 today. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you open up to Ruth, it's a very small book, just after the book of Judges. In fact, its scene is set in the time of the Judges in Israel's history. And the Judges was a time of peace and prosperity and happiness for all mankind. No, it wasn't. It was a terrible time of conflict and war and uncertainty and trouble and famine. But we're going to have a look today at Ruth chapter 2, okay? So if I'm going to pick this up just in verse 1 and read through until the end of the chapter. And as per usual, I'm in the New International Version. Okay, Ruth chapter 2, and we'll pick it up here in verse 1. Remember, Naomi, her name means pleasant. Naomi means pleasant. But at the end of chapter 1, she says to the residents of Bethlehem, "Don't call me that name anymore. Call me Mara. I've had a bitter experience. I've had a tough experience. Don't call me pleasant. The circumstances of my life right now are anything but pleasant. Call me Mara. Call me bitter." And chapter 2 really focuses on Ruth and a new character, Boaz, whose name means strength. Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. "Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing." Maybe your version it says a man of wealth. In the King James Version, I think it says a mighty man of wealth, an outstanding man whose name was Boaz. Verse 2. "And Ruth, the Moabitess," as if we've forgotten, "Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor.'" That word favor in the Old Testament is the New Testament word grace. "In whose eyes I find grace. Naomi said to her, 'Go ahead, my daughter.' So she went out," as Ruth, "and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech." Can you see here already in verse 3, God is at work? As it turned out, by chance, she found herself in the field of Boaz. Verse 4, "Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. 'The Lord be with you.' 'And the Lord bless you,' they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, 'Whose young woman is that?' The foreman replied, 'She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, Ruth bowed down with her face to the ground, and she exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor, such grace in your eyes, that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." At the mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here. Have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. And as she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I work with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen or family redeemers." Then Ruth, the Moabitess, said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It would be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished. And she lived with her mother-in-law. There's a great power that you can unlock in your life, that I can unlock in my life, and it's the power of imitation, the power of copying. The Bible knows this very well, this principle. And we use the verse in the New Testament that says, "By beholding, we become changed." By beholding, we become changed. That's why it's not a good idea to plonk yourself in front of the mirror for too long. By beholding, we become changed. We have the chance, as human beings, we're dynamic. We have the chance to imitate and to copy. And this is why it's very important to have good role models in our life. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. Christ loved us." Here's this allusion again to our great divine human soldier of the cross. "And offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. And Paul also writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he says this. Paul says, you should imitate me. Copy me, Paul says. Just as I imitate Christ. Copy me as I copy Christ. Now, the only thing that you can take away at the end of your life, whether that's because life's processes have its fulfillment, we take our last breath and we die, or whether we're left until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only thing that we can take out of this life is our character. It's the only thing that you can take out of this life. We won't be taking our reputation, we won't be taking our promotions, we won't be taking our cars, or our houses, or our possessions. The only thing that you can take at the end of your life, into the next life with you, is your character. And here in this chapter, as I was reading this week, I thought, wow, this is great behavior, this is great example to copy and to imitate. And I'd just like to point out quickly here 10 character traits that we find here in the lives of Boaz and Ruth. Boaz, the Israelite, and Ruth, the foreigner, the outsider, that we should imitate. Because there are certain characters that we can build into our lives, certain characteristics, I should say, that we can build into our lives that God will always bless. And the first character trait that we notice in Ruth chapter 2 verse 1 is integrity. We're introduced to Boaz as a man of integrity. He's a man of standing. He's a man of high social reputation. Like I said, the King James Version labels him a mighty man of wealth and substance. He is a man of influence. He is outstanding. I would challenge you and challenge myself every day when you get up in the morning, be a child, be a man, be a woman that is going to live with integrity. Integrity comes from the same root word that we have for integrated. Live an integrated life. Obviously, our spirituality is part of that. Our Bible reading and our prayer life. But also our balance between work and life and family and recreation and enjoyment too. Live an integrated life. Be a man or a woman of integrity. Boaz is introduced to us as an outstanding man, a man of integrity. The second character trait that God always blesses, we find in Ruth chapter 2, verse 2, which is risk. Risk is something also God blesses. Ruth chapter 2, verse 2 says this. Ruth is saying to Naomi, let me go and be vulnerable. Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain that I find behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. We don't get this when we're reading it through it, but Ruth is taking a tremendous risk here as a young woman and as a foreigner. Because in the fields, the harvesting fields, there was great vulnerability in this. She could be subjected to physical abuse. She could be subjected to verbal abuse. But the need for food is pressing. And so she doesn't stay at home like Naomi and throw a pity party for herself. She gets out there, takes the risk, and starts working. Are you a person of faith and action and risk? Ruth is very vulnerable here. And we can see in verse 9 and in verse 22, when Boaz says in verse 9, I've told the men not to touch you. And in verse 22, when Naomi says, stay with the girls and you won't be harmed. Ruth is going out into the field, taking a risk. This is also a character trait that God blesses. The third character trait that God always blesses is the ability to notice others. Who's in your circle? Who's in your sphere? Who do you notice? Do you notice others? Boaz, in coming to the field, noticed Ruth. In verse 5, he said to his foreman, "Whose young woman is that?" He's asking, who does she belong to? And in verse 10, Ruth replies to Boaz, "How have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me?" And then also in verse 19, Naomi says, "Blessed be the man who took notice of you." And this is an amazing noticing, because people of wealth and standing and celebrity don't usually notice others, do they? It's usually the way around. So if you want a blessed life, if you want God to bless your life, notice others, particularly those who are vulnerable. The fourth character trait that God always blesses that we find in Ruth chapter 2 is something that I fear is going out of fashion, both in my own country and here, and that's politeness. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 7, we see Ruth making this request. Verse 7, in the New International Version, she says, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." You know that God set up Israel to have a concern for the weak and the vulnerable and the poor. There are laws that you can find in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy that protect people who are vulnerable to starvation. And those who are harvesting in Israel were to leave certain parts of their field available for people to come behind and glean, pick up the leftovers. But you notice in this verse that Ruth is not enforcing her rights. Are you a person that always wants to have it your way? You always want to enforce your rights? Are you a person that's polite in your interactions with others? Do you say please and thank you? Are you grateful for what others do for you and with you? I would suggest to you that Christians should be known for their politeness and for their kindness, not for their rudeness. Ruth asked for permission. She didn't just go straight to the field and exercise her rights. The fifth character trait that God always blesses we can find in verses 7 and 17. And there's not much that really needs to be said about this, but it's the characteristic of being a hard worker. Ruth goes into the field early in the morning. She stops for a brief rest, and she works until evening. There is a pressing need, the need for food. And she works hard to make sure that she and her mother-in-law, who she's committed to, has food on the table. And we'll find out a little bit in the rest of the story how generously Ruth fares in her gleaning. Now, you don't usually have to tell Americans, do you, to be hardworking? Or do you? I think there's a good balance that can be found again. And I think I go back to this first trait of integrity, of having an integrated life. Work hard, but don't overwork. Don't do it to the extent where you try and burn the candle at both ends. You know, they say that people that burn the candle at both ends are not very illuminated. So work hard, but also learn to rest and relax. Exercise and recuperate as well. I guess I've got to get that in because I'm taking 3.5 weeks off soon. Back to England. So be hardworking, but be balanced. The sixth character trait that God always blesses is the ability to protect others. To protect others. And we should do this even more so in the church. Ruth 2, verses 8 and 9 says this. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you." Boaz has a remarkable ability to notice others and protect others. Sometimes it might not be best for you to share what you're thinking in your head about someone else. Protect people. Think the best of people. Honor people's reputation. Think the best of people, not the worst of people. There was great danger for Ruth out in the fields, and Boaz comes across as a person of protection. I like that. Seventh character trait that God always blesses is humility. Verse 10, at this, Ruth bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Humility. Humility is the way of Jesus. Humiliation comes from, is linked to the same root as the word humility. And when Jesus, the great divine human soldier, was lifted up on the cross for your sins and for my sins, in humiliation, what he chose as the path of humility and humiliation was in fact the greatest pathway to exaltation and glory. So you can see the reversal in this trait, humility. Ruth bowed down with her face to the ground in a different manner, seeking the favor of her benefactor. The eighth trait of character that God always blesses. If you want to have a blessed life, build these things into your life. We find it in Ruth chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Speak kind and comforting words. Your words, your thoughts, and your words, and your deeds are like seeds. We can seed each other's lives with good things. And when you plant the seed and it dies, you grow a harvest. God has built this principle into nature, but he's also built it into our human relationships and interactions as well. So parents especially, this is very important, that you seed good words and good thoughts and affirming faces into the lives of your children. Because otherwise, you may get a harvest that is unexpected. This is the highlight of the chapter when Boaz says this. And it's interesting to note that Boaz is going to be the one that fulfills his own prayer here. Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband." Do you think Ruth had any idea that she was going to end up in the field of the person who already knew something about her? You see God's goodness and God's providence in these words. It's amazing. Don't doubt how much God is interested in hovering over your life. Don't doubt how much God is hovering over your life to bring in his providential goodness. I love these words. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. God has a system of rewards. God has a system of payback. But he'll only bless certain seeds. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take refuge. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Beautiful picture of God in there, spreading out his wings of protection. This is an awesome verse. May the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take refuge. This is the great reversal. The young widow from Moab becomes the great-grandmother of King David. As we pause and look at the last verse of chapter 1, where there's no hope. Is there any hope? Is there an ounce of hope? Is there a drop of hope? Is there a seed of hope in this terrible set of circumstances? The narrator of the story asks us to say, God, can you bring anything good out of this? God said, yes, I can. Yes, I can. It might take time, but I can. And Ruth becomes the great-grandmother of King David. And when Jesus comes, the great divine human soldier, he is called the son of Abraham and the son of David in the first words of the New Testament. The eighth characteristic that God wants to bless in your lives is the ability to speak kind and comforting words to others. The ninth characteristic that we find in Ruth chapter 2 that God blesses is hospitality. Hospitality. In the last 2 weeks, I've been the benefactor of the hospitality of two or three people that have done something for me whilst my wife was away that really touched me. Just kind invitations and a couple of other things. I don't think there's anything that makes us feel more special than receiving a hospitality. Remember when Jesus came to visit Sodom and Gomorrah with his two angels? And Abraham rushes to provide hospitality. Sometimes we're entertaining angels unaware. It's biblical. Hospitality. In Romans, Paul encourages the Roman Christians in Romans chapter 12 to practice, get good at hospitality. Hospitality. And this is amazing because usually it was the foreigners that provided water and food for the Israelites. But in this story, and it was the women for the men. But have you noticed in this story, Boaz is offering water to Ruth. It's a man to a woman. And also, he is offering her to come and eat some special roasted grain. This was a delicacy. This was good food. In the story, there is a reversal there. Men are offering the hospitality to the women and the Israelites to the foreigners. The tenth and final characteristic that we find in this passage that God blesses and wants to bless in your life as well. There's a special Hebrew word for this, and we came up against this in the first chapter too. It's called chesed. It's generosity and kindness. Generosity and kindness. I can see in this chapter that Boaz lives by the ABCD principle. Have you heard of the ABCD principle? Going above and beyond the call of duty. He doesn't just say to Ruth, go to the edges of my field and glean. He brings her in. He brings her in. There's a great method of evangelism that we can see in these verses. These character traits to bring people in. Generosity and kindness. He didn't just say, look, you know, my harvesters are going to have a good meal here. If there's any crumbs, we'll give them to you, okay? You can take them home. Inclusiveness. Inclusiveness. It's an amazing inclusiveness that Boaz offers here. The Bible tells us that Ruth gleaned an ephah. You know what an ephah is, right, Miles? How much is an ephah? Well, of course, it's a tenth of an omer. Scholars recommend it somewhere between 30 and maybe 50 pounds. 30 and 50 pounds of food she comes home with at the end of a day's gleaning. This is amazing. We miss this sometimes in the Bible record. Now, the harvesting period lasted roughly 7 weeks between Passover and Pentecost. If she gleaned that amount every day, she would have enough food for her and Naomi for a year. For a year. Can you see the reversal that's taking place here? The hopeless situation. God infuses. God brings the harvest, and he brings the person to show generosity and kindness to the family. God works through people, and he wants to work through you and through me as well. Ruth chapter 2 verse 20, he has not stopped showing his kindness, his chesed, to the living and the dead. So you want to be a blessed person and have a blessed life? Looking especially at the young people here, learn these traits of character that God blesses. Integrity. Godly risk. Notice others. Be polite. Work hard. Protect others. Be humble. Speak kind and comforting words. Be hospitable. Be generous. Be kind. Galatians 6, 7 through 10 says this in the contemporary English version. You can't fool God, so don't make a fool of yourself. You will harvest what you plant. If you follow to others, be humble. Speak kind and comforting words. Be hospitable. Be generous. Be kind. Galatians 6, 7 through 10 says this in the contemporary English version. You can't fool God, so don't make a fool of yourself. You will harvest what you plant. If you follow your selfish desires, you'll harvest destruction. But if you follow the Spirit, the source, the growing force and source of these character traits, you will harvest eternal life. That's what I'm in for. Don't get tired of helping others. That's a good one for me and you, Pastor Michael. Don't get tired of helping others. You will be rewarded when the time is right if you don't give up. We should help people whenever we can, especially if they are outsiders. You know, the Bible doesn't say that. Especially if they are followers of the Lord. Now God bless you this Memorial Day weekend. Remember the 10 characteristics that we find in Ruth chapter 2 that God always blesses. And remember the sacrifice of the divine human soldier at Calvary for you and for me. We thank you, God, for your great chesed, your loving kindness, your generosity towards us. Help us to take time to seed our lives with your words, because a great harvest will be the result and the end will be eternal life. Thank you for rewarding us for what we do for you and for what we do for each other. Bless us to this end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.